Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're about to listen to Bananas for Bonanza, episode 28. This is Andy Daly. Here on this free feed, I'll be re-releasing all of the back episodes of Bananas for Bonanza, one every other week. If you want to hear new episodes ad-free, please subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/AndyDaly. The entire Bananas for Bonanza archive is also waiting for you there, and you can access lots and lots of bonus content. So do that. Okay, thank you. Enjoy.
Yeah! Bonanza, it's the finest show alive. So consult your TV guide, get your great outdoors inside. Take some Ponderosa pride and forever make it ride. I'm Bananas for Bananas.
You all right, ready? Here we go. I'm going to start with a yee-haw. Hey, yee-haw! Damn!
Forgot to cock it.
Okay.
Are you having a LaCroix?
This is a Spindrift. It's a raspberry lime.
Oh, Spindrift. Do you know what that word means?
Is that a better than LaCroix or a cut rate LaCroix?
No, it's a better than LaCroix. It costs more per ounce.
Well, then it is better. But a spindrift, what it means is it's the mist from when a wave comes in the ocean.
Is that what a spindrift is?
What a great name for a drink. Yeah. I think they won the game right there, them sons of bitches.
They won up to Sierra Mist.
They did. By having to be a mist that's not even called a mist. It sends you to the dictionary. Yeah. That's a smart man's drink. Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. Anyway, you learned something already, and we ain't even told you what you're hearing. This is Bananas for Bonanza. Hello, friend. Come on in. The gate is open wide. We are talking about the television show Bonanza, as a matter of fact. We do that every time, and we're doing it this time for sure. And I am Dalton Wilcox, cowboy poet, poet laureate of the West, that I have re-earned that distinction recently. Yes. Well, it's a self-given distinction, and I recently said to myself, am I still the poet laureate of the West? And the answer was yes.
You had to reapply to yourself.
Yeah, I did. Okay. I did. And I'm here with Mutt Taylor. Hello, Mutt.
How you doing? I'm Mutt Taylor. I'm a firebrand outlaw country western musician and first time Mommy and Me class taker.
Oh boy, I do want to hear about that. And we've got Amy Sleverson, Christian entrepreneur.
I have so many new ideas for business plans and proposals and profit and loss statements and balance sheets. It's crazy.
This episode gave you ideas for balance sheets and profit and loss statements.
Well, just that you could get those done once you had income.
Yeah. Have you not been doing anything like that? Keeping track of your what's going out and what's coming in?
Well, sometimes I keep track of how many businesses I have.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it.
So I have about 79 businesses now.
Oh, that's a lot of business.
But you don't keep track of any of the counting for any of those businesses.
That's... I'm not a numbers person.
Oh, okay.
Business is I'm not qualified.
To do what? To keep track of the numbers?
Well, it's, I just figure it's all just, it's the blood of Christ goes in, the blood of Christ goes out. And, you know, it's all just energy flow.
And is that a box you can check on an IRS form?
Well, if you are working only in cash.
Oh, I see.
Wink, wink.
Businesses are cash businesses. Is that cash?
Cash or barter.
Oh, cash or barter. Well, that's smart.
I will take anything as barter.
Really?
What do you mean?
Anything?
Well, you know.
Surely some things
have
no
value.
Oh, okay. All right.
I won't just take anything except I will.
No, but like somebody, let's say, for instance, somebody's got a broken shoelace. I mean, you're not going to take that for a tragedy charm.
Well, does it have meaning?
Oh, the shoelace?
Yes. Did something happen?
I believe if the one I think you're talking about is the one. It was used in an act of sexual passion.
Oh, no. Well, then, of course, I would take it and I would say you can have at least 3 pieces of inventory, mostly because I got to move it.
Okay, I see.
I have too many pillowcase covers with Revelations quotes on them.
Yeah, I can imagine. Your home is like a storage space at this point. It's 79 different businesses. All right, well, what are we talking about today? We're talking about Season 1, Episode 28, which is called San Francisco.
Bold claim.
Yep, and it is, man, I tell you, every once in a while they do one of these episodes, it is absolutely hilarious. You don't stop laughing from beginning to end. This is one of them. So many funny parts in it, and surprises, and so many Chinese people are in this episode.
Seven!
Seven cousins alone.
Seven.
Now, numbered cousins.
This is something I did not know about the Chinese people, that they number their cousins. I've got cousin number one cousin, number two cousin, number three cousin.
Oh, I thought it was because of lack of creativity or interest or curiosity about Chinese culture.
They didn't want to have to come up with 7 different names?
Yeah. Those aren't mutually exclusive.
That's right. I'm sure this is authentically accurate to Chinese cultures and to number your cousins. I'm sure it is. I didn't look it up, but I'm sure it is. As opposed to calling them by their names. And what else? I don't know that there was gunfire, but boy, oh boy, was there a brawl.
Or two. Yeah, that brawl reminded me like of a Batman television show.
It was. It was fantastic. It was a climactic brawl at the end. And it's got a lady in it, and she doesn't die. So it's been a while since they killed off a lady on this show. Interesting. Well, it's a damn fine episode. And I think maybe I'll start off with the air date, the new feature of this show where I remember. So this episode aired on April 2nd, 1960 was when this episode originally aired. Brett, are you ready to play what was the number one song on April 2nd, 1960? Get ready. The number one song was The Theme from A Summer Place by Percy Faith.
Whoa, there it holding goes. Strong.
Holding
on
charts. Yeah. Wow. Same as last time.
Did people not have choices?
It seems that way. Because when you hear this song, one thing I thought is, what was going on in the world that people needed to listen to a song like this again and again and again? They must have been terrified. Must have been fear of nuclear war, I suppose.
Well, that would have been at its height.
Yeah, right? So this song obviously just calmed people down. I don't know what else you'd listen to it for, right?
It's an ear laudanum.
Ear laudanum. Wow. Yeah, that it does have that effect. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. Guess what the number one movie in the country was on April 2nd, 1960?
I'm going to say, oh, boy.
Oh.
Manchurian Candidate.
Manchurian Candidate? What do you say, Amy Slagerson?
Valley of the Dolls.
Valley of the Dolls. It was Ben-Hur, same as last week. What? Things didn't change so fast back then. It was basically just week to week.
How long are we in for these two number one hits?
Matter of fact, quite a while. Thief from a Summer Place was the number one song of the year, but it hung on quite a while. And, hey, guess what the number one television show was?
1960. I want to say Bonanza, but yep. I don't feel like it's climbed up there yet, so I'll say Gunsmoke.
What do you say, Amy Sleverson?
I'm going to say... Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers. That's a good guess, but Mutt Taylor got it right. It was Gunsmoke. I never heard of that show before.
I saw it on this list.
I said, what is that? I never heard of it. This night, April 2nd, 1960, at the Grand Ole Opry, Patsy Cline performed.
Ooh.
Yep. Now, can you imagine? Try to just put yourself in that place. You live down there. It's Nashville, right? The Grand Ole Opry. You live down there. Patsy Cline's coming that night, and you have to choose. Do I watch a brand new episode of Bonanza on tonight, or do I go and see Patsy Cline?
Never mind Ben-Hur, listen to a theme from Summer Place.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the entertainment options were too extraordinary.
Well, you didn't have choices. The woman stayed home.
That's right. Well, of course. Yeah, no, I'm talking about the men who had to make the choice of what to do.
Well, you'd show up and find there was no show because Patsy Cline was made to stay home.
Oh, right. Of course. Who was letting Patsy Cline out doing shows on a Saturday night? I don't like it. You had, in the news, you had old Lyndon Johnson and John Kennedy was trying to figure out which one of them was going to be the Democratic nominee.
Wow.
You had old Richard Nixon trying to figure out who his running mate was going to be at this time. You could get a postage stamp for 4 cents. You believe that? Nowadays, they're free because nobody needs them.
Oh,
you could get a pound of beef jerky for $2.61.
I'm always writing cards.
Are you?
I write. Well, I have a selection of cards that are, it's Christian cards for every holiday. So we have Christian-based cards for Hanukkah.
Oh.
And then also for Earth Day.
I'm trying to imagine if I was a person that celebrated Hanukkah and yeah. I received a Christian-themed card for it, what my reaction would be.
Well, you would say, well, at least they know what I do.
Okay.
And then you'd say, huh. And then you'd learn a little bit about each other.
All right. That's a good way to look at it.
There's no agenda in that. You're not trying to change them.
Oh, no. I put a big, like one of our first graphic. It's Easter bunnies on both sides of the cross. Oh, Jesus is on the cross, and then there's Easter bunnies on either crosses, the two other crosses.
Oh, okay. Oh,
they're being crucified, too.
And then, and then you open it up, and it says, you know, if it's a birthday card, it's a friend with a birthday. It says, guess what else? It came alive.
So that's not an Easter card, even though it has the Easter bunnies
well,
on it.
If your birthday's on Easter, I have an Easter birthday card.
That's a good idea.
I've made hundreds of those.
Oh, you have?
Well, that's a tough. That's going to be. Well, I mean,
but now Easter's one of them holidays that doesn't fall on the same day every year. So
that's true.
Some years, I reckon you'd have a lot of people whose birthdays is Easter.
Some days it falls on Hitler's birthday, April 20th.
And the only way I sell that card is it's a special deal. You have to prove to me that it's your birthday that day, and you send me a copy of your birth certificate, but an actual legitimate copy.
A certified
copy of your birth certificate.
Does it need to have the raised seal on it?
Yes.
Okay.
And then it's about a 9-week turnaround.
Uh-huh.
And you have to, because you're the person getting the gift, you kind of know it's coming. You know that card is going to be coming. So it's kind of this whole, anyways, it's fun because it's a journey
that you
take with the person who's getting the card.
I think about that and how you can go get a free Denny's pancake on your birthday.
One pancake?
Or something like
that. All right.
Yeah, I forget what it is. Free meal, free moons over my hammy.
I would hope so.
But Their barrier of entry is slightly easier than that.
What's that? How do you prove to the folks at Jenny's that it's your birthday?
They just driver's look at
license.
Your feet.
Yeah, they just look at your rings, your tree rings.
They go, no one would lie to get their hands on one of our pancakes.
But man, suppose. 9 months to get a birthday card if you were born on that year's Easter.
But wow. that's the anticipation is where the added value is.
Now, you could steal somebody's, or maybe that's not the right word, but get your hands on somebody else's birth certificate. So I'm saying you need to break into somebody's safe or safe deposit box or whatever and send it to you. So I'm saying to preserve the surprise of the recipient of the card.
I would figure it out.
Oh, you would. No, I see. You're not going to get scammed.
I'm not going to get scammed.
Guess it's... how much... Go ahead. What you going to say?
No.
I was just going to point out that a 12-pack of baked beans was $2.29 in 1960. You get 12 cans of baked beans for $2.29.
That alone would stock your bomb shelter for, what, a good couple weeks?
I guess so. You could get a set of 6 wooden stakes for 58 cents in 1960.
Now, what would you use a wooden stake for?
A wooden stake? Keep it down your pant leg for if you run into a vampire.
Now we're talking.
Or put it under your dress on a little lacy leg thing.
A garter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. There's a lady with a little gun on her in this episode. Can't wait. Boy, I tell you one problem with this episode is most of the characters had 2 names. It was a bit of a pickle.
My husband and I, we are doing that as well.
Oh, you are?
Well, we started, as a result of this episode, International Barbary Vacations.
Oh.
Where we take up, you know, it's like... It's an escape room, but it involves immigration and rights and human trafficking.
So
we take you from Duluth and in a canoe, and we take you over Lake Superior, and it's only about 5 miles via boat. And then we take you over to Superior, and we sell you. I mean, it's fun. And... And we call it being too harbored, and I go as no uterus Uma, and because I don't have a uterus, and
that's
then
the nickname they would have given you on the Barbary Coast in San Francisco in 1861.
Well, because it's true, uh-huh. It's just what it is, and
yeah.
Then my husband goes by Christ-centered Carl. Christ-centered Carl. And we take away all your Minnesota clothes, you know, your Carhartts, and then we dress you in Harley Davidson leathers to go to Superior, Wisconsin.
Oh, the town of Superior, Wisconsin, which is on Lake Superior.
Which is so close, but you can't escape. You can. But anyways, it's really fun. And if you don't want to go by boat, we also take you, you can go on our Ford Flex over Bong Bridge.
Okay.
Bong Bridge.
Bong Bridge.
Oh. B-O-N-G.
B-O-N-G. You guys have never heard of it?
No.
It goes from Duluth to Superior and Superior to Duluth.
Oh, that's amazing. I haven't heard of that.
You know, I used to know a two-uterus Tallulah. I wonder if you hooked up with her, you guys could work something out.
Well, that... I'd have something to talk to her about, for sure.
Two uteruses, wow.
Yeah.
Or is it uteri?
Probably is.
Uh-huh.
The point is, save some for the rest of us.
Here, here.
We do also an international trip where we kidnap an entire town. We'll take out the Grand Marais and we'll put them to work on a taconite iron boat all the way to Estonia. And and the part that's the exciting part, we have to figure something out, is how to get back, because we take away all your documents. And you just have to figure out how to get back.
There's so many words you just said, I don't know. Did you say a Grand Marais?
Grand Marais. You guys never been to the Grand Marais?
No. What is a Grand Marais?
Oh, it's a town. It's a beautiful town.
Is it?
And if you take the whole town, that could staff a taconite ore.
That was the other thing I didn't know what it was.
It's iron ore. It's a form of fuel.
So you're saying they work on a boat and gets them to Estonia, and then they're handed over to traffickers, and they've got to escape that themselves with no documents.
No documents. But that's the exciting part. That's when you really got to have somebody who hasn't had too much to drink to figure it out.
Oh, now, where is Grand Marais?
It's up the north coast of Lake Superior, so okay. It's up near Canada.
Oh, I got it. And the boat runs on iron ore?
Well, no. Oh. That's what you're shipping. You're shipping
something
of value. Because really, I mean, not to say speak badly of the people of Grand Marais, but I don't know if they would go for much more than $25 a head.
Okay.
What's the population of a town like that?
Well, about, I think, around 25,000.
That's a lot of people to fit on one boat. Is that the plan?
Well, but, yeah. I mean, we haven't worked it out yet. We haven't had a real dry run or a wet run. We haven't had a wet run. So these are just ideas.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
It'll be fine. Well, that's all I had to say about 1960. You can stop playing that song, Britt. Okay. Well, a lot of what you're talking about here is people getting bought and sold into working on a ship is all that comes right out of this episode. I want to do some fun facts real quick before we get talking about the episode. We had the character Kathleen, a.k.a. Quick Buck Kate, was, as you could tell from her accent, she's from New Jersey. Kathleen Crowley is the name of the actress. She was in a movie called The Female Jungle, which is not what you think it's going to be about.
It isn't?
No.
Too bad.
Yeah. I thought,
I thought it was the accent of a whore.
Oh, you thought she had a whore's accent?
Yes.
I don't know. I think maybe she's supposed to be Irish and 80 years old. Didn't she sound like she was doing an old lady voice?
Now, I didn't look it up on purpose because I look forward to fun facts. You can't believe.
Mm-hmm.
This is just something occurred to me. Is she the woman that did the voice for Witch Hazel in the Warner Brothers cartoons or Witchy Poo or what
not? Believe it or not, that was June Foray.
That was June Foray.
It was.
Okay, boy, she sounded, there was just a dead ringer in that voice.
Yep, it wasn't Kathleen Crowley. Kathleen Crowley, she actually was in a lot of things, and then she quit acting when she got married at the age of 40. A lot of these actresses quit acting when they got married, but most of them get married earlier than 40, so she's got more credits. Good for her. Then we have, boy, this episode was jam-packed with stars. David White as Alexander Pendleton, a.k.a. Shanghai Pete. It was Larry Tate on Bewitched.
Yeah,
He was the boss on Bewitched.
Sure. Yes, I remembered that.
Yeah. He specialized, something I read put it well, he specialized in cads and pompous politicians. That was mostly his
career. That's about right.
And he, but the only weird thing I saw on his whole resume, you know how on IMDb it'll say, here's all your films, and here's all your TV shows, and here's all the times that you appeared as yourself.
Uh-huh.
And that's going to be your talk shows, your game shows. In that category was a movie called The Decline of Western Civilization, Part 2, The Middle Years.
Yeah.
Why did David White appear as himself? Was he an interview subject? Was he in? He couldn't have been in a heavy metal band, I don't think.
And you don't have the answer because now I am dying to know.
He's the father of a heavy metaler.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, that may be. I almost watched that whole movie to find out the answer. But then I got too tired.
You watched some of it?
I didn't watch any of it.
You got too tired to even start it.
Well, I figured I'd probably have to watch the whole thing if I was going to watch any of it.
Carl and I have a heavy metal band.
Oh, yeah. Well, is it a noise? Do you do noise?
No,
noise rock?
No, this is also, it's a heavy metal.
Oh, in addition to the Christian noise rock.
It's Christex.
Christex.
And we have, it's, our t-shirts have the head of a goat skull on it. And and we,
they just do the Bible.
What was the lyric?
They just do the Bible from cover to cover.
And then my husband will play something in the background. He's learning piano. So he plays, just something that he's working on, like, Frere Jacques. prayer is Jacques.
And then I read from the Bible.
You do Bible cover to cover for one song, or is it?
Well, it can be however long a show you need. But, you know, we start wherever we're studying.
Oh,
so
I
right
see.
Now we're in Timothy.
Okay.
Now, that sounds so disturbing to me. I mean, in a good way, in a good way. And that, you know, that thing that heavy metal is often trying to evoke of where, you know, scare you down to your boots. That would do it. Somebody plunking out Frère Jacques on a piano and and then somebody growling the Bible at you. Here comes a helicopter.
Yeah.
Well, that's evil. That's our new player on our noise band.
I thought he was making a noise.
No, we do. It's heavy metal.
For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son.
How long can you do that for before you get sore throat? Oh, man.
Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth.
Wow. You guys are terrifying me.
God.
Sometimes I can't remember the next part of the Bible that comes next, and so I just start saying words that I think are holy.
Oh, like what?
Holy.
Yeah, well, that one is.
Swiss cheese.
I don't think she means that kind of holy there, but. Well, that sounds great, that heavy metal band. Anyway, so we'll get to the bottom of maybe I'll watch The Decline of Western Civilization later on, find out why David White was in it. And then we got Richard Deacon, who played Captain Shark. He's a captain by the name of Shark. Captain, ship's captain named Shark. Seems like a bad idea.
I agree.
It's good. It's bound to be some confusion.
Yeah, when I heard our priest, his name was Priest Touch My Butt. And...
Father touch my butt.
Father touch my butt.
Yeah,
and I said, I don't know about this guy, but he stayed with us for 10 years until we caught him, and he was touching someone's butt.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Now, is that a case of him living up to his name, or did he get his name because that's the shit he was into?
Well, we don't know. Oh. That's the thing. He came with that name, and he left with that name.
There's a case where you'd want to see his birth certificate, because that would answer all.
That's
right.
That's why I asked for a birth certificate when you want an Easter birthday card.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Is he still out there, Father Touch My Butt? Do people need to worry about him?
Well, he probably could have changed his name. You know, to
he's on to touching other parts, by
like brother touches butt.
Yeah, he could have changed denomination, become rabbi touch my butt, or touch my
tuchus
butt.
Rabbi touch my tuchus.
Might be that. I mean, if you're going to change denominations, change them. Well, anyway, that's almost as bad as Captain Shark. Not quite. He's played by a fellow by the name of Richard Deacon, who's in a million things. He specialized in humorless authority figures.
Yeah. Oh.
He played Lumpy's dad on Leave It to Beaver and producer
That's where I know him.
Yeah, you know him from that.
Yeah.
Also, the producer Mel Cooley on The Dick Van Dyke Show. Now, in addition to all that, this guy had a busy career. He was also a gourmet chef. And in the 80s, he hosted a Canadian TV program on microwave cookery. How's that a show?
Yeah.
Now, I read a thing like that, and I'm not a lunatic, so of course I go over to YouTube and see if I can find a clip of Richard Deacon hosting a microwave cookery show.
That's a good idea. Is it just what's cooking in the microwave? Like, because I would watch a potato turning.
Yeah.
For hours.
Well, it's almost that.
I have.
Unfortunately, I couldn't find... Richard Deacon did, but I found what has to be the show by perhaps the next host. This was 1981.
So this was like the Tonight Show, an institution that had to remain regardless of whether the host was with it.
That's right.
Is it bacon on a paper towel?
Well, I'll show you what it is. It's
did
not
they
quite
ever
as
do tinfoil.
Tinfoil? No, hell no. It starts off. I'm going to play it all for you, even though this is not modern speed of entertainment. It starts off, the opening credits is just shots of different parts of a microwave oven over beautiful music. So here comes that. There's the dial.
Oh,
there's
my God.
The button that says rare and medium rare.
1981. 3,800
views.
And
this music doesn't cost any money because it's from the 18th century.
That's a some piece of meat. now we see the time. What, it was 11:33 when they did this. Time. It's warm, low, defrost, braise, simmer, bake. We're seeing all the buttons.
And this is just the opening.
Just the opening. Now, I don't know what that dish is. I can't imagine what it would be.
Is that potatoes au gratin?
Oh, maybe.
They don't have it when you explode something?
With Marilyn Martinez.
This is
whoa.
We
have a pizza crisper heating here, and I'm going to get our pizza from the freezer. We're going to make a frozen pizza.
It's a cooking show. She's going to show you how to make a frozen pizza.
Now that goes along with another one of my favorite Canadian shows, which is just a fella putting a tape in a VCR.
Well, this is the first 3 minutes is just how to get that cardboard box open. It's remarkable.
And your spouse standing behind you going, you can't, you don't take it off the cardboard.
Bert's wife uses an oven.
Bert's wife? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
What's that?
His pal Bert. His
oh, Bert's wife.
I thought all his other friends, the wife.
I was imagining a wife made out of birch wood.
Oh, that's Bert's
what
wife.
That's what I thought you
that's
said.
That's what sailors use.
Oh, they sure do, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I've nuzzled up to a birch wife.
I will say she, and I've never seen this outside of this clip from this television show, she adds some fresh ingredients to the frozen pizza. I've never seen anyone do that before. She slices up a mushroom and puts that on top of frozen pizza.
I guess otherwise, why do the show?
I guess.
You know what? Sometimes my husband and I, we put a chunk of cheese in a coffee mug and we just melt it and then we just drink it together.
Oh.
I mean, it's kind of like Lady and the Tramp, but with one gob of cheese.
Do you have two different straws in your cup?
No, we just use our tongues.
You're just lapping up a big gob of cheese out of a coffee
that's
mug?
That's right. And sometimes whoever slurps the fastest gets the big gob at the end that's already getting cold.
Oh. Right, right. What kind of cheese works well for that?
American.
Oh. Yeah. So it's like a wad of different slices, I guess. As far as I know, you can only get American cheese sliced.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So you have to roll up a bunch of slices and put them in there? Velveeta?
Well, now...
Oh.
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
When you ask for more specifics, I can feel put on the spot.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
We'll just take it face value from now on.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Another fella in here playing the character of Hamp. This one was maybe the most interesting find. He's an actor by the name of O.Z. Whitehead. And the O in O.Z. stands for, I'll spell it, O-O. Now, already, that's the strangest first name I ever heard of. Starts with two O's. T-H-O-U-T. Uthout was this man's first name.
Uthout.
The Z stood for Zabriskie. Uthout Zabriskie Whitehead. Son of a wealthy New York banking family, he went to Harvard where he met Katharine Hepburn's brother, Dick. And then it says, this is what Wikipedia says. Although Zebby Whitehead, as they called him, never married, he was in a long-term and very private relationship with actress Katharine Hepburn. After they agreed to part, Zebby was never known to be in another relationship.
Oh.
And he is a bit player in this episode of Bonanza.
Wow.
Can you imagine that?
Well, that also brings my husband and I were training to become Christian sex therapists.
Oh, really?
Yes. And, right now, we've got our first tool we're learning about, which is a hole in the sheet.
Oh.
And what you do is you place the sheet with the hole in it over your spouse, and then... Doesn't matter which spouse, and then that's how you get to know each other.
Does the hole move around? Look at different
depends.
Parts?
You don't think about too much about your spouse, because the spouse is... between you and a sheet, so you don't think about them as much, and that kind of it's very healing.
Oh,
does it help if you like fucking ghosts?
Well, what that there's that That's yes.
I don't want to. I don't want to put you on the spot. That's just another way for me to say I like fucking ghosts.
Oh man, that's dangerous. Much you need to know it's dangerous.
It's
to fuck a ghost.
Weird kink of mine. Don't shame me for
I
it.
I don't want to shame you for it. I'm just saying breaking up with a ghost if it comes time for that, there's basically no, impossible.
It's impossible.
That can be healed through Christian therapy. That if you have inappropriate longings, for beings that just want to be left in peace, we can treat that with, well, right now we just have the sheet with a hole in it.
Yeah, well, ghosts always have some unfinished business, too. But now, unless their unfinished business is getting laid.
Unfinished business.
It's unfinished. So you got to, that's a handful. That's a handful.
It's hard to satisfy a ghost you cannot materialize.
Sure.
Part of Christian therapy is we get you a loaf of bread and you have to eat it. And that kind of takes you out of the game so you don't feel... it lowers your libido.
Oh.
A loaf of bread.
Oh, an entire loaf of bread.
An entire loaf of bread, and you got to eat it.
Can
all
you
in
drink
one
something?
Sitting. No.
Okay, oh. That's going to take you a long time. Yeah. Anybody'd lose their boner eating an entire loaf of bread.
Now, what if I like fucking a loaf of bread?
Oh, shit. That's a problem.
You know what that's called? That's called paraphilic.
Really?
It's paraphilic. Things that are not right, things that are done on the Barbary Coast that you don't want to do anymore. We treat that by either amping you up with energy drinks or taking you down with loaves of bread.
Now, I don't want to ask too many follow-up questions, but who is training you to be a Christian therapist? You said you guys were training.
The internet.
Okay. All right. I'm glad I asked.
There's a certification program online, and it's got a website, so it's legal.
Of course. Oh, no one was questioning the legality. Hey, the other thing about O.Z. Whitehead, he quit acting and became extremely involved in the Baha'i faith. You know anything about Baha'i?
Oh, what is that?
I don't know.
It's not beneath me. I don't know. Is it vegetarian?
That might be part of it. It's a fairly new religion, adjacent to Islam, perhaps, or that part of the world anyway. Oh. Anyway, he just got deep into it. All right. Now, I want to tell you about Hop Sing's number three cousin. Yeah. You probably think, this little fella, he didn't have any lines. I think he might have said okay once. Every time he comes on the screen, there's a gong. They play a gong every time number three cousin comes on. Well, who was that? Well, I looked him up. Fella by the name of James Hong.
Yeah, sure. He's everywhere.
He's everywhere. This man is still kicking at the age of 93. He just did a voice on Kung Fu Panda Paws of Destiny. He plays Mr. Ping just like a few months ago.
Yeah, he's in Gremlins, right?
He's in Gremlins. He's in Turning Red, the brand new Pixar movie.
Yeah. Oh, that's a surefire hit because it involves sex.
Oh, does it? But it's a children's movie, isn't it? A children's movie.
Well, I think it's about your getting when you're 11 to 13.
Oh, I see.
Those are
the years when people turn into a red panda.
Yeah, they turn into a red panda.
I see.
James Hong was in Big Trouble in Little China and Blade Runner and Airplane and The In-Laws in Chinatown and Tango and Cash. And he played Snotty in Revenge of the Nerds 2, Nerds in Paradise.
Sure.
Guy's been in every damn thing.
Chinatown to Revenge of the Nerds 2.
Yep. Just like that. He was in a movie called The Human Vapor. And I looked that one up. It's about, of course, a science experiment goes wrong. A man is turned into vapor. And he begins robbing banks. Now, I haven't seen it. I got to see it because I understand how you get into the bank vault as a vapor. I think.
I think so.
All right. And then I suppose you can he must be able to rematerialize into a man, grab hold of all that money. But now what? You know what I'm saying?
And can you dematerialize the money?
That's the question. Can he vaporize the things he's trying to steal? Or maybe he just knocks on that wouldn't work either. Because I was going to say he knocks on the vault door and says, let me out. You had accidentally locked me in the vault. But then they're going to say, then do you have pockets full of money? I'm just saying, if you had the power to become a vapor and then to become solid again, how would you use that?
I think what you got to go in, go into the bank and then alter the records of your own bank account to add more money to it.
Oh.
And then leave. And then come back the next day. Hello, I'd like to withdraw $600,000.
I'd go to a party.
You would. And not socialize? You'd just...
No, I'd just be at a party.
You would enter the party as a vapor and then become a person.
No.
Oh, you would...
Stay a vapor.
You'd remain. So you'd be sort of lurking in a corner of the ceiling.
And hear all the conversations and get inside the refrigerator and see what they've got.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And go inside their filing cabinets and see, are they getting enough insurance for floods?
Do you ever do that at a party? Do you ever go through someone's file cabinet when you've been invited to a party?
Sometimes,
sure. Who among us?
I want to make sure everybody's okay.
Yeah.
And it's also, it's a service I provide.
Oh, really?
That if you need some looky-loo, it's called looky-loo, and things that you don't want to look at in your life, but you need someone to check and do see if you're okay. If you go, I don't want to really look at it because I am uncomfortable with being conscious of my own situation.
Right.
But if you need someone to come on in and go, I think you have a gambling problem, I'll do it. And or I'll come in and say, poof, you guys aren't even putting anything away for a prudent reserve or a some sort of retirement plan. What do you think? You're going to die tomorrow? Jeez.
So you're just snooping on people's situations.
It's looky-loo. And then I go, guess who's hiding candy bars? Guess who's hiding candy bars?
Boy, you get into all the nooks and crannies.
She says, oh, there's nothing sweet in the house. Well, guess what? There's three baby Snickers in the cabinets behind the dog food.
I'd buy a vaporizer, turn it on, and then fuck the vapor.
Wait a minute. What?
Oh, my
what?
Gosh.
A vaporizer turns water into vapor.
Yeah.
And so I see. You're just creating sex partners all day
that's
long.
That's right.
All right. I'd like to see two vapors get it on. Vapors, come to think of it.
Sheets with a hole and loaves of bread. That's the order of the things that I like.
And ghosts.
Yeah. Oh, no. You are perfect for our paraphilic sex therapy treatment center.
Sounds great. Paraphilia turns me on.
Oh, no.
I love sex therapists.
Boy, that's a problem. If somebody was turned on specifically by...
We have not handled that before. Carl and I are going to have to discuss that through the hole in the sheet.
I'm looking forward to it. Let me tell you, whenever you are ready, you two phone me up. Let's do it.
Well, the hole in the sheet is also good for having a conversation through if you don't want to... If you don't want to look at somebody's face, maybe.
You can do whatever you want with it. That's the great thing. It's whatever you need. It's therapy for you, by you. What do you want to deal with?
Okay. Well, and the final person I want to tell you about in this episode, the last big star, was Tor Johnson as Busthead Brannigan.
I thought so.
Man, oh, man.
Yeah.
That fella, he was 6'3". In height, which is pretty tall, and 440 pounds, which is very heavy, and not really explained by 6'3 as a height. He was in Ed Wood movies, such as Bride of the Monster and Plan 9 from Outer Space. He was a Swede and a professional wrestler, and he went by Super Swedish Angel to distinguish him from another guy who went by Swedish Angel. So there was a Swedish Angel, and then he was Super Swedish Angel.
And he used to be able to buy a mask of Tor Johnson, a rubber mask that's featured in, we recently was talking about them Halloween movies. Oh. In Halloween 3, they go to a toy and mask maker, and there's a bunch of Tor Johnsons in the background.
I guess it was the most popular Halloween mask for a while.
He wanted
to look like Tor Johnson. Mm-hmm. He had a beautiful head of blonde hair, and he shaved it to look more scary.
No kidding.
Yes, the truth. I read that.
Oh, boy. There's someone else that does that, too. You guys keep talking.
And okay.
Even if I remember, I won't say it because I don't think this is interesting.
Is it the guy from Midnight Oil? I'm only going to make one guess.
Shit.
Nope.
No.
All right. We're going to talk about this episode. And I don't know that we've left ourselves the amount of time we usually have, but that's fine because we can cut right through
the guy from Game of Thrones that plays the
Varys.
Yeah, Varys.
He's got a beautiful head of hair.
Big full head of hair.
You're kidding me?
No, he does.
good for him.
Yeah.
All right.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Well, this one takes place in San Francisco in 1861. I didn't realize it was 1861 because it was 1859 in the pilot. So over the course of season one, 2 years have gone by.
Wow.
Okay, that's fine. Whatever you say. They're in San Francisco. They've gone up there. Not Adam. He took the week off. He's back at the Ponderosa holding down the fort. But Ben and Little Joe and Hoss and two of their ranch hands, Johnny and Hamp, have gone up. They drove a whole bunch of cattle up to San Francisco. They sold it. They got a whole lot of money. And, man, you've never seen Ben so happy.
Never. You literally never have.
No.
Almost as if this was written with a different show in mind and the character is not Ben Cartwright.
Exactly.
And it was all about cash on the barrelhead. So that it's okay to be happy when you're flush and it's about sharing.
Yeah, he overpays the ranch hands.
Overpays.
And he's going to take them out fancy dinner.
And he's not paying attention and everyone's excited but it's all money based.
Yep. Yeah. Johnny and Hamp go out and get real drunk real fast, and then one of them wants to buy some silk, and then a fellow by the name of Cut Rate Joe.
Yeah.
He's a obvious swindler. Any sober man would know from the moment he stepped toward him that this guy's up to no good. But these two drunk ranch hands don't know from nothing. They follow Cut Rate Joe. They get clonked on the head by a couple of thugs.
That's where it happens.
How many times has Ben warned his sons about going to San Francisco on the Barbary Coast?
9 times before the first guy's hit.
Yep. Yes,
he says, this is not the Ponderosa.
That's right. Shanghai. These guys are getting Shanghai'd.
And it's too bad because we've seen every episode up to this point that Cartwrights are facing major drama and trauma.
Yeah.
And I thought this is going to be an episode where they just get to enjoy themselves.
Me too.
I've never seen Pa this happy. It made me happy.
That's what people think they want when they have a vacation. But sometimes you want to be abducted.
Oh, yeah. This goes in line.
And go through a trap door into a pool of water.
Sometimes you do want that. But, I'd never seen these guys eat lobster and oysters. I thought that's going to be a great scene right there. Well, it never comes. Now, would you get credits? And we see that map burn for the 28th time, interestingly. And then we're in a hotel room, and Ben, he is practically dancing on air, ready to go out and have fun. Joe is shirtless. We don't see that too often, little Joe.
Not a thread of hair on that body.
He has a hairless body in stark contrast to Hoss, as we see later. Wow. This is an episode where two of the main cast are shirtless.
Yep.
Unusual. Yeah. What do we learn? We learn Hop Sing has 100 relatives in town and so on and so forth. And that's when, oh boy. It happens in this scene, right? Hop Sing comes in and he says, hey, I don't know where Johnny and Hamp are. Everybody's concerned Johnny and Hamp are late. And Hop Sing shows up, gong. There's a gong sound that happens every time a Chinese person either enters or exits.
Is that to signify that the person is Chinese? Because I can tell by looking at their very stereotypical costume and hair.
Yeah, I don't know why it was necessary to put a gong in there. Oh, but I forgot to mention that a Chinese person witnessed Johnny and Hamp get abducted. And that turns out to be Hop Sing's number 3 cousin, who has reported to Hop Sing. Now, his cousins 7 in number, we've learned. They basically just kind of peeking around and hiding, and they see everything that happens in San Francisco.
Sure.
And they report it back to Hop Sing.
Sure.
That seems to be what I guess the Chinese were known for at that time.
I believe.
Well, and he tells them it looks like they've been shanghaied. And so all three of the Cartwrights head into the Barbary Coast to find Johnny and Hamp, right? And that's when we learn Cutrate Joe, he's trying to sell, blah, blah, blah. And then
what is the end result of a shanghai? They get shipped to Shanghai and
they get shipped as a sailor, and it's such a long trip that by the end you're kind of you have that syndrome where your captor is your best friend and you just go oh well.
Stockard Channing syndrome.
Yeah, Stockard Channing syndrome.
I think the classic Shanghai is you wake up on a boat halfway to China and you're told if you want to eat you got to swab the dick, and then you don't get back to San Francisco for like a year, and at that point you're a different man. You're a sailor, not whatever you used to be. That's a classic. We have an extremely unnecessary scene where Ben yells at a police officer who's making loud pencil scratch sounds the whole time. Ben's trying to find out where his ranch hands are. The teeming street. Boy, this episode had more extras in it than any episode we've ever seen.
I'm telling you, something was up. They were shooting on a film set or something.
Peas and carrots. Yeah. Peas and carrots.
Rhubarb.
Peas and carrots.
A lot. And I'm sure you could, if you really wanted to pay attention, see like, hey, that's the same guy who just walked the other way with a different hat on.
Yeah.
But who's got time for that? Now, partway through the search, Hoss sees who you could only call San Francisco Hoss step out of a bar. And that's Tor Johnson. And the two of them circle each other and say, wow, you're just as gigantical as I am. Look at the size of us two ridiculous creatures.
And they didn't have an ounce of acrimony in them. They just had appreciation and recognition for each other.
Yeah.
It was like a dog park.
Yeah.
No dialogue whatsoever. Just circling each other and looking at each other. And the search is going on for Johnny and Hamp Old Joe gets into a skirmish with a bartender who seems to have something to do with it. I don't know why. I guess there's only one bar in San Francisco, but everybody knows this is where they must have been. And what happens first?
My husband has one of those too many questions hammers.
That's right. When Joe's asking too many questions about Johnny and Hamp, the bartender pulls out a gigantic hammer.
That boy, that shuts me up real quick. No, it's funny, but then it is scary a little
bit. Sure.
Because you're afraid, for physically, like afraid.
Of your body.
For your life.
Yes.
Even though it is your spouse.
And it's a joke mostly.
Until it isn't.
Until you don't know, and that's the funny part.
Round about how many questions can you ask before the hammer comes out?
Two
questions?
It's the rule of three in our house, just like in the Bible.
I didn't know that about the Bible. But, is this when the fight happens? Yeah, so Hoss and Tor Johnson, who we learn his name is Busthead Brannigan, they are having a bare-fisted brawl for bets, and everybody's bet on it, and Hoss just punches him out in one punch. And then there's a whole thing where Busthead Brannigan is saying, well, you're the new champ. You're the new champ. And I'm thinking to myself, here comes a whole plot line of this episode.
Right.
Poor Hoss is the new champion bare-fisted brawler of San Francisco. That's going to come up again and again. Everybody tries to challenge him. And that did not happen.
I thought we was even maybe in for a spinoff series.
Oh, my God. Hoss, champion bare-fisted brawler of San Francisco.
Yeah.
No, that didn't happen. I have to assume it was in a draft at some point.
Yeah.
And they cut that, but they had already booked Tor Johnson. So they did the fight. That's my guess.
That's called a cul-de-sac plot line.
It doesn't go anywhere. There is no outlet.
No room for Adam in this episode either.
No, sir.
God damn.
Well, now, Ben says, all right, hey, I'm going to go into that bar, and I'm going to find out where Johnny and Hamp are by using a different tactic than you guys have, which is flattery, and behaving like a totally different human being than Ben Cartwright has ever been before.
Absolutely.
He is just chipper and chatty and complimentary and an absolute delight.
It's the Christian way. It's sort of based a little bit on the Dale Carnegie How to Win Friends and Influence People, but my training program for business professionals is how to get three questions where the answer is yes.
Oh, how's okay?
How do you say, do that? Are you working here? Yes. Are you a professional at your job? Yes. Would you like $5? Yes.
But that's three questions, so now out comes the hammer.
I was just going to say.
No, but that if they said three times yes, then they don't take out the hammer because they're smiling because they've said yes so many times.
Oh, I get it. Mm-hmm. So now you can get to what it is you wanted to talk about because you got them smiling. About three things.
Three things.
And they're used to saying yes, so it's just natural.
There you go.
And they just say, okay.
That's the pattern, because the human brain loves a pattern, right?
Tell it to Daffy Duck. It gets them every time.
Every damn time.
Yeah, and then, and Haas does it. What he does the three question yes, 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 while he's drowning a man, which is really thoughtful. You know, he's really knows his stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's quite a bit of drowning in this episode. Well, all right, so basically, Ben now... They're having a happy conversation, but he does bring in there that he's looking for Johnny and Hamp, and that causes the bartender to get a fella who has two names, Alexander Pendleton and Shanghai Pete. And that's Larry Tate. He comes out and he says, well, why don't you come with me to the end of the bar, you and me, and we can chat in more quiet.
And have a drink of brandy squash.
A brandy squash. Now, this took me, I'll tell you right now, this took me by surprise.
Me too.
I did not know.
I didn't think there was going
to be. Old Ben Cartwright is standing over a trap door, and the bartender pulls a lever, and he just falls through the floor and splashes into a bunch of water. This is a saloon built over some water. And now he's in a whole bunch of water. That's it. Ben Cartwright's been shanghaied.
I'm having one of those put under our house as an anniversary gift.
Oh, what a good idea. So it's a trap door.
Yeah.
And then it falls into, you think, a body of water?
Yeah, well, like maybe an underground pool, but that might be too rich for our blood. So I think I just put a load of laundry at the bottom.
Okay, all right.
I'll tell you what you do. Get your husband on that trap door and just start asking all the questions he wants and then you want. And then as soon as he pulls out that hammer, before he can hit you, let him fly. Turn the tails.
Oh, that's genius. But what if the hammer... Well, okay. I got to think about that.
Okay.
That's a great idea. And then... But then pretty soon he'll learn where the trap door is. That's the only issue. Is that he might learn.
Oh, right. Mm. A trap door kind of only works once on one person.
Right.
Right?
But then it becomes a sort of a fun party stunt.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's like if you have one of them cans of peanuts that's really got a snake in it. You only fall for that.
What's
one
that
time.
Now?
Do you like peanuts?
I love peanuts.
Oh, you do? Well, I have some here.
I'd love to take a look inside that can front view.
Yeah.
Bird's eye view.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's good. You're going to enjoy those peanuts.
Jesus H. Christ.
Sorry, that's a rattler in there, my friend.
Why would you do that? I'm scared and I'm still hungry for peanuts.
Oh, damn it. Well, I'm sorry.
Why don't you take a seat on this chair instead of the chair you're in?
Okay, I will, but I don't see why.
No, come on, take a seat. Oh, my gosh. What'd you have? Beans? Those 12 cans of beans?
Oh, that's a good one. Put her here.
Oh, my goodness. You see?
Oh, that hurts. Oh, that's not as funny because it involves pain. Yeah. Unless you're from the East Coast, and then things are funny that are painful.
And now I'm going to shoot you both in the foot.
What? Oh, damn it, son of a bitch.
Oh, come on.
Well.
Just kidding. I shot it to the side.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah, those are fun. How about that fly in the ice cube? That one, if you find that one, hey, there's a fly in my damn ice cube. You ever see that?
I used to have one of those, and it just turned so yellow that
right.
when I put it in people's drinks, it wasn't the fly that bothered him. It was just what looked like a snot cube.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Carl, sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night, and Carl will have put my hand in a bowl of warm water.
Oh, my.
Hoping that I'm going to pee the bed, but I never have.
Oh.
But it's always a laugh.
My mom used to do that, but it was a bowl of warm piss.
Oh,
yeah.
Put your hand in a bowl of warm piss, and then what happens to you?
I just start drooling.
Oh, you drool?
Yeah.
That's I've never been on either side of that prank. Do it to me sometime. Okay, I want to see if it works for me. Sounds like it doesn't work for Amy Sleverson.
Don't be as surprised sometimes if you fall asleep, too, and you feel a little tickle on your head, and you go to itch it, and then your face covered with shaving cream.
Hot dog! I like that. That's funny. If that happened to me, I'd get up and shave.
Do you ever have Mystic Smoke?
No. What's Mystic Smoke?
That was another one of them things.
No.
It was probably the... It just goo you'd put on your fingers and you'd pinch your fingers back and forth together and the goo would flit up in the air in little streams and it looked like smoke was coming off your fingers.
You're kidding me.
Only it never looked like smoke. It just looked like goo.
Doesn't sound at all familiar to me.
My husband, I served him a whole bottle of creme de menthe and he passed out and so I drew Jesus all over his face and the whole next day people were looking at him and he had no idea.
He never caught sight of his own face the whole day, huh?
No, he's not like that. Right. He doesn't like to look in the mirror. And so, boy, people were like, Carl, what? And, you know, everyone's so nice where we live, so nobody said anything, you know, in case it was something, a decision he'd made.
Yeah, you don't want to say anything. Oh, those are nice people. So now Ben has been reunited with Johnny and Hamp there in the whatever place they're keeping the Shanghai Cowboys. But they end up getting sold to Captain Shark. But Captain Shark doesn't want Ben because Ben is sober. And Captain Shark lives by a code that he will only take a drunken man to work on his ship because they deserve to be abducted by their wickedness. And so he doesn't want Ben. So Ben's alone in there, and that's when Kathleen comes in, and she is an elderly Irish woman in the body of a young, beautiful woman from New Jersey. And he literally says to her, "What's a nice girl like you doing in a place like this?" And then he offers her $500 to help him escape from bondage. And she says she's going to take it. But you can tell from how she says it that she's lying.
He's lying. And he's so innocent.
Yeah.
He's an innocent babe.
Yeah.
Just being, well, he's literally, I mean, he's a baby.
He is a baby.
He's a little baby.
He has no idea he's being lied to.
He's in the big city. The Ponderosa ways they don't take here.
I guess that's right. That's probably right.
He believed a woman who was showing a lot of cleavage.
She was. That's a sign of untrustworthiness. Well, so now Hoss is going to get serious, and he decides he's going to tear this whole damn town apart. And he goes into the same saloon. Now you've had Joe forthrightly asking questions, getting scared off by a hammer. You've had Ben sweet-talking the bartender and ended up down a hatch. And now you've got Hoss, who comes in there, fists flying. He threatens to tear out the bartender's geezel pipe. That's what he says. I'm gonna twist out your geezel pipe. I think it's a part of a locomotive, maybe. I never heard it before. But anyway, he says, you're gonna, if you don't blah blah blah, you're gonna wake up with somebody tapping you in the face with a spade, which I think means
killing.
You'll be in a grave. Yeah.
Okay. So and that's when once again it happens again. Old Alexander Pendleton shows up and he says, "Hoss, why don't you talk to me at the end?" He calls him Laddie Buck. He says, "Laddie Buck, why don't you come talk to me at the end of the bar where it's nice and private?" And wouldn't you know, Hoss falls for the trapdoor too. Man, oh man.
Don't accept free drinks.
Nope.
Now, never stand at the end of the bar.
Don't stand at the end of the bar. So now he's in this water and a fella comes along and offers to give him a hand out of the water. But Hoss pulls him into the water, and now Hoss can stand in this water, but this fella can't swim, and somehow he never finds the ground.
Right.
And Hoss is sort of waterboarding him, basically, to get the information he wants about where his paw is, for crying out loud. Okay. And then what happened? Kathleen and Ben together, she leads him. She helps him escape and leads him straight to Cut Rate Joe. And that's when we learn she also goes by Quick Buck Katie.
So Laddie Buck and Quick Buck.
Laddie Buck, Quick Buck, Cut Rate, and Shanghai Pete. And that's when, what happened? Oh, he gets sold for $75. Ben gets sold.
$75.
To Cut Rate Joe for $75. Hoss comes in. Joe and Hop Sing happen upon the scene by way of a smashed down wall. Joe threatens to twist off Kathleen's arm at some point.
That's right.
She doesn't reveal where their father is, or Hamp and Johnny.
And that is actually a situation we treat, is people who have, there's any sort of desire that comes up when you are threatened violently, and then they kiss the oppressor. That's something we treat. We don't know the name for it yet.
That's right. He's twisting her arm behind her back like he's going to snap it right off. And then he gives her a kiss. And she's got a moment of don't do it. And then a moment of she just melts because it's little Joe giving her a kiss. Yeah. How, of course, she just moans in pleasure.
Just being, anyone gets kissed by a hairless porpoise like that, you're immediately going to go with it.
His torso glimmers.
Even if she tried to get out of it, her hands slip right off him.
Yep, that's true. So now what's happened is that Ben, because I guess the way Shanghaian worked is that you had to be dressed as a cat burglar to be purchased by the ship's captain, because cat burglars and sailors dress the same, with black long sleeve shirt and a wool cap of some kind, dark wool cap. And so now he's dressed like that. And so Captain Shark still says, but he's sober, I won't take him. But then they just pour a bunch of liquor over his head, and Captain Shark says, oh, he smells of liquor, I'll take him. I don't understand that man's moral code.
Well, I didn't know what was a sailor until I heard the Popeye theme playing, and I guess it's like the gong for the Chinese. They've got to tell you what everybody is through the music.
I guess that's right. They play that boop-a-doop, boop-boop, zoop-a-doop-a-doop.
Yep.
Okay. Well, now, what do we got? Hoss finds out what's going on. It all culminates on a boat that is docked down there, Barbary Coast. We got Johnny, Hamp, and Ben are all like there on the boat ready to leave.
And they don't say what they're bringing to China.
That's true. We don't know what the cargo is. Nobody seems in a real hurry to get going.
Maybe it's iron ore.
Well, oh.
Could be.
Wouldn't that be?
Could be the entire population of Grand Marais.
Marais, yes.
We don't know. But because of the surveillance of these various cousins, Hoss and Little Joe and Hop Sing find out where the boat is and what's going on, and they ride to the rescue, and they play the cavalry coming in, and they storm onto the boat, and boy, do we have one of the best brawls ever in the history of this show, to the point where Joe literally swashbuckles like an Errol Flynn on a rope, right?
Absolutely. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Now, something that happens three times in this brawl, and each time it's played like a funny joke and they all laugh about it, is that an unconscious man is dumped into the water where I suppose they will drown to death.
Yeah, I think so.
He will die.
And ain't that funny?
Each time.
Well, it's because there's three.
Anytime, that's right.
It's three. In the Bible, there's three instances of sex trafficking of young girls. And that's what makes it funny.
That is funny.
It's Hagar, Abishag, and Esther. And I have a line of tote bags that, you know, just it has quotes from when they were, you know, Hagar was raped by Abraham, and then Abishag was raped by King David for years.
Oh.
And then Esther, she wasn't so much raped as sort of taken out of the crowd. And then the king said, oh, I'm going to kill all the Jews. And then she got up the nerve after a couple of weeks to say, I'm Jewish. and I mean, if you want me to still stick around, and I guess he did, but it's a rule of three that if it's any three of anything, it's okay.
So the first rape there, you think, oh boy, I don't like that.
That's dark.
Second one, you're like, I'm concerned about this book is going.
Yeah, the third time, it's the will of God.
Yeah,
and you're just there to
to sleep with the guy to have the next generation of Israelites.
Oh. So the first time in this episode when they take a fully unconscious man who's been beaten unconscious and dump him over the side of the boat into the San Francisco Bay and then sort of high-five and laugh at each other, you think, I don't know, guys. And then the second time they do it to Captain Shark, he falls into the water, and they just disappear. They go into the water, and then that's it. They're gone. And you think, boy, I don't know. But then the third time, which was completely unnecessary. As a matter of fact, it's unnecessary every time because the people are unconscious. But this time they're done. They're leaving. They're walking away. And as an afterthought, a bug just flew in my mouth. Goddamn. Still in there. Son of a bitch. All right. Who am I, Marlon Goddamn Brando? They're leaving the boat, and there's an unconscious man slumped over the side, and they go, hey, guys, just for fun, should we do one more? And they dump him in, and then Hopsin gives him a comical wave, goodbye. And now that time is when you go, okay, this is funny.
What's the secret of drowning? Timing.
Timing.
Timing. Timing. Timing.
But it was like a Batman fight sequence, partly because so many people was dressed in black turtlenecks.
Goon costumes. Yeah. Yeah. And then they thought they'd be safe and someone would grab them from behind and pull them back and lots of turns. Yeah. Heel turns.
It was good fun.
Yeah. Well, and the same thing with the human trafficking of young girls. It's funny as long as they're pretty.
Right. It becomes tragic when they're the best. When they're not good looking, then it's just sad.
It's a little bit of the laughter off. You just think, oh no, they're not having a good time and they're unattractive.
It's too much.
It's
right.
Too much.
Too much bad stuff going on.
But I do have tote bags. Where'd that come Hagar, from? Abishag, and Esther. And it says, says, we did it for God. Anyways, it's an inside joke Christians.
I was going to say the best thing about that tote bag, that's a classic conversation piece. Because somebody reads that and says, what does your bag mean?
Yeah.
And then you get
then
to tell them.
You get into it. You get into it.
And then by the time you're done, you've made a friend.
You've made a friend.
Yeah.
And you've taught them about the job of bed companion, which is very common in the Bible. If you're a daughter of someone,
how so?
Your father needs a bed companion sometimes. Oh. Sometimes he needs someone to warm his feet.
Oh,
quote-unquote feet penis.
Feet penis.
No.
Anyways, I'm confused.
It all makes sense if you have faith.
Okay.
This is the first time hearing of feet penises myself, but I'll look into it.
Because one's plural and one's singular, feet penis.
Oh, feet penis.
Do they share a penis, the feet? I'm trying to parse this. Is foot penis makes sense. Feet penis. I'll get back to you, even though I don't know what I need to do.
That's where it confuses you. So you think, oh, they can't be possibly talking about him raping his three daughters. And then it's like, oh, because it's a reference to his feet. But then you find out later that feet meant private parts.
I see. That clears it up. Well, all right. Hey, the great thing is this episode ends. One of Hop Sing's many cousins, I believe it's cousin number seven. Cousin number seven brings in a bolt of silk for Johnny, which is something he wanted at the beginning of the episode. And cousin number one is a chef and brings in a big meal of lobster and oysters, just like they wanted at the beginning.
Right.
Everything turns out fine. Yeah. Hey, by the way, I didn't mention James Hong in this episode. He plays number three cousin in an episode in season two. He plays Hop Sing's number one cousin, so he gets a promotion by two
like
cousin
that?
Slots.
I'm worried about the two cousins ahead of him.
Yeah, sure, me too.
Oh, no.
Well, anyway, that there is an episode. Boy, after this, can you believe that? This is terrible.
Didn't you notice that they all have a left black eye at the end of the episode?
Oh,
Everyone in the scene has a black eye on the left.
That's right.
Of their face.
They're going to have to put their steak dinners on their faces.
That's what they do.
Yeah. Well, and so it made me think of my new reality show pitch, which is it's I'm going to be a pimple popper. So I'll be, but it's Dr. Amy's Pimple Poppers 1,000-pound 90-day fiance. So to qualify the show, you have to be over 1,000 pounds.
Okay.
Have a skin condition and then be in love.
So, all right. The contest, is it a competition show? Yeah, so it's contestants.
Of course it is.
So they're 1,000 pounds. They get pimples on their faces or anywhere.
Or anywhere. And what, because part of getting a pimple extracted from around your eyes, which is the Bermuda Triangle, is you'll get a black eye if you get anything extracted around your eye. So just FYI. So it's like those guys were all on my show.
Well, 1,000-pound person is going to have more surface area and more likelihood to have pimples. So this makes good sense.
It does. And then that they're in love makes it all the better because they're more sensitive to touch.
Oh, this sounds good. The best part about it is just watching all them pimples get popped. I think people are going to love that.
Are you guys popaholics?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure are.
I don't know. I got to think of new names for it because there's already a show. And so I'd have to call, Amy's non-medical professional squeezes your face show, but it doesn't sound as good.
What's the show that currently exists?
It's Dr. Pimple Popper.
I did not know there was a show called...
And then there's another show called My 1,000-Pound Life, and then there's another show called 90-Day Fiancé. But if you put them all together, that's what you really want to see, is a 1,000-pound person going overseas to get their pimples popped.
What is Dr. Pimple Popper?
I guess he pops out pimples on screen. It's on the Learning Channel.
Really?
Where you really find out about dermatological conditions that have gone way too far because no one has health care.
The lesson to be learned from every Learning Channel show that I don't want to watch anything on the Learning Channel?
What?
Is that what they're trying to teach me?
You also discover what a lipoma is, which is a fat. It's not a cyst, but it's fat in a sac that just starts growing too much on your back usually. It's usually somewhere where you've been hit, have a traumatic event, and it grows in a sac. And it gets removed. And you can do, it's local anesthesia. You can watch them grab the nuggets out of your body with a mirror.
So it's not a cyst. It's fat in a sac.
It's a
okay.
It's a fatty tumor, fat in a sack.
Is it too late to change the show from bananas to Dr. Pimple Popper? I cover every episode. I mean, this sounds pleasant as hell.
I'll tell you what. Let's table that until we get done with season one of Bonanza.
Okay.
And then, I don't know. It seems crazy, but I'm interested. I got to see Dr. Pimple Popper.
Well, there's another show that I've been considering. It's Sebaceous Cyst Hoarders, where it's when you can't walk through your own home because you got so much stuff, but if you bump anything, your cyst is going to blow.
Oh, man.
So it's because
I get it, because I've seen that show Hoarders, and after a while it's like, okay, I see I see the stakes of this situation. You got a messy house, maybe it's unhygienic, you're going to get sick if you can't have people over. I've got it. After one episode, I've got it. But this person, they can't walk through their cramped house.
They have something on their neck that has been growing for a while, and oh no, a Disney princess falls from a great height.
I have 1,600 sebaceous cysts over the whole surface of my body, and wouldn't you know it, I love hoarding knitting needles and letter openers and magnets on the wall so they just stick out. I can't go pop.
Is this your audition team?
Yeah.
It sounds fantastic. And of course, if you're a hoarder, I guess this happens. If you're a hoarder and you get one sebaceous cyst, you're going to think to yourself, it'd be great to have more.
Yeah, you're hoarding the cysts.
You start hoarding the cysts themselves.
Well, And also, I just want to say the most important thing about this is that there is virtually no health care provided on the show.
Right.
You are not paid. You sign a waiver.
Pure exploitation.
And it's a pure exploitation. But it also, all of the money earned by the franchise will go to Christian causes.
Oh, that's beautiful. That makes me feel so much better about watching all those cysts pop.
And people suffering live.
Yeah. What are you supposed to do when a sebaceous cyst pops? Just
I've had 2 sebaceous cysts before.
Okay.
And I had to have them drained.
Oh, okay.
I had one inside my lip.
So, but on this show, it's not going to happen. They're just going to...
No, it pops accident sometimes. Well,
and the camera gets a good look at it. That's it.
The camera gets a good look at it, and then it's off to the hospital that they're paying for.
They're paying for it. Okay, good. Good. I love it. I'll watch that. And to get as ready for it, I'm going to watch Dr. Pill Popper, Pimple Popper tonight. Dr. Pill Popper is every other doctor. Well, all right. There is only 403 episodes left of Bonanza. After this one, I'm sorry.
How many episodes of Dr. Pimple Popper are left?
Oh, there are so many.
Really?
There's so many videos, but I haven't made my first pilot episode, so don't watch that until you've watched my show.
Okay. Oh, all right.
Because
that's fine.
I want to, it might also be, I might mix it up a little differently, like have it be blind date, intersex, eczema.
Oh, I see.
If you need a fix till her show comes out, just Google jacuzzi water births.
Jacuzzi water births.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like something you've been checking out.
I came home to it one time on the television, let me tell you that much.
Let me just ask this. Are the Jets an asset or a liability?
Depends on whether you like a swirling baby.
Okay. All right. Well, folks, you've got more than enough things to check out. And so you do all that, and we shall see you next time. Any other business? Hey, anybody got anything to plug? No.
No.
Who cares? No. We'll see you next time.
Bye now.
Bye. Bye.
Bananas for Bonanza is brought to you by Andy Daly, with Maria Bamford and Matt Gorley. Theme song by Matt Gorley, with The Journeyman, which in this case are Mark McConville, Daniel Michikoff, and Wade Ryan. Bananas for Bonanza is mixed and edited by Brett Morris, and executive produced by Andy Daly, Matt Gorley, Brett Morris, and Little Scott Aukerman. We'll see you next time.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.